This podcast is part of the Gunna Geek Network. The opinions expressed may not represent other podcasts or affiliates of Gunna Geek. Check out more podcasts at GunnaGeek.com and get ready because geekness starts in 3, 2, 1.
You're listening to Fan Art, part of the Art House Legends podcast. This is Moody Derek.
This is Kent.
And this is a new show that we're going to be having on Art House Legends, which we're going to be taking pop culture films that are coming out currently in theaters and new films that are out, and we're going to ask the age-old question when it comes to these movies. Do these movies both hold up as cinematic masterpieces, as well as do they meet the needs of the fanboy? And in this episode, we're discussing Black Panther. So for this particular podcast, I myself am going to be talking about the cinematic elements of the film. What does this film do as a film in itself? Does it meet the criteria of a good film?
And then I'll be fanboying out on the film, or attacking the film for not being fanboyish enough, or good enough for the fans.
And then after we're done with giving our perspectives and our rebuttals, then we're going to grade whether I believe that the film is good as a film in itself or not.
Oh, and I'll be deciding if it fulfills its fanish, I guess, opportunities. So
before we get started into the actual debate, Kent, give kind of your impressions of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and where Black Panther is in that Marvel Universe.
Marvel Cinematic Universe is hitting its 10th year, basically. And Black Panther is kind of a recent addition. They introduced him during Captain America Civil War, is his introduction into it. However, some of the concepts were introduced previously in second Avengers movie, and perhaps the only thing that a lot of fans take from that movie. Yeah. Hey, Vibranium, Wakanda, hey, cool. Cool. Not that long ago in Cinematic Universe timeline, we're introduced to Black Panther, who's the sovereign of a nation in Africa. Fictional, of course, because nothing can be real in comics, except New York, which we constantly burn down. Character gets introduced, and in Civil War, we learn some of his abilities. In this movie, we go full-born into his background, culture, other characters that are his supporting cast, so on and so forth, as they tend to do in these movies, so.
Alright, so I guess before I get started on my end, I should go ahead and say that the cinematic or the critical approach to this film, the majority of critics on Rotten Tomatoes have given this a very high score. Not only does it have a consensus in critics, but the critic approval rating is astronomical. This is considered one of the highest rated Marvel cinematic films. It's also considered to be a groundbreaker when it comes to what the MCU does with many critics, especially top critics on Rotten Tomatoes. And I must say right now that I am a pretty big fan of Ryan Coogler, the director of Black Panther, because he had done a couple of films prior to this. Fruitvale Station, which I honestly think is a genuinely great film in its own right, as well as Creed, when he took over the Rocky franchise and gave it new life, and something that I've been on the record of saying is just an amazing feat in itself. So, kind of getting into Black Panther as a film, I have to say that I was the most worried when it comes to Ryan Coogler taking on this project, primarily because Marvel has a tendency of taking great talent and kind of just whittling it down, where they, you have to meet all these particular elements to the, you know, to kind of fit in with the MCU itself, and getting rid of directors that kind of go against the grain. Now, they have done better at it since the removal of Edgar Wright and Ant-Man. Since then, we've had Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, done by James Gunn, who is by no means a typical director. And, of course, Thor Ragnarok last year, done by Taika Waititi, which I consider to be one of the top 20 best films of the year. So, and actually, I'll even go so far as to say is the one of the best Marvel films of all time. That said, I'm not a big fan of this movie. Kent, what is your overall impression of the film? Did you like it? Did you not like it? Where are you coming from personally?
For me, it was a fun movie. It did not disappoint. I did have one or two gripes about how it ended, but it gave me exactly pretty much what I wanted. A fun romp movie, which is why we see Marvel movies. We don't see Marvel movies to learn the meaning of life. We see it because we want to see superheroes beat up on things.
I'm going to kind of disagree on kind of what I myself expect and what I think Marvel films are capable of doing. And again, I would go back to Thor Ragnarok last year, as well as Logan from last year, as showing what Marvel films and what superhero films are capable of doing. And not even just those. I mean, the godfather of superhero films is The Dark Knight. And I don't think either of us can disagree that film goes beyond what superhero films are capable of doing.
Yeah, but we're not here to argue Dark Knight, so...
Yeah, but it's not just Dark Knight, though. Like I said, just last year we had we had Logan and we had Thor Ragnarok. And
well,
go ahead.
I wasn't expecting anything deep going into Black Panther.
Why is that?
I just wasn't. Logan, I kind of do expect something like, this is it, this is the finale, this is the end of our character. We know his story is coming to an end. This is kind of a beginning.
But I guess let's go ahead and let's look at another film that also gives an origin story of sorts. Let's say Batman Begins. Does this kind of are on par? Is this better than Batman Begins in your opinion?
That Bat series with Nolan's Batman series, it's almost more. It almost doesn't feel superhero. It feels like crime drama thing. So.
Well, it should be said that Marvel really considered Black Panther, the character, to be its version of James Bond. And you can definitely sense the James Bond elements of this film.
Especially if his sister is Q.
Well, his sister is Q. I mean, you could say that the Martin Freeman character is his Felix Leiter. You have, you know, all the gadgets and stuff, but you also have a casino scene, car chases. You have elements that definitely come straight out of a James Bond film, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, well, if you want to compare it that way, but in this instance, though, James Bond is the sovereign of his nation, which is different.
Well, that's true. In that sense, then I guess you'd say it's James Bond meets the Lion King.
Yeah.
And in that sense, would you say that this movie is better than any of those?
You know, in some ways, the plot of this movie, well, if you're going to put it like that, reminds me of Lion King 3. Or is it 2? No.
I don't think there's a Lion King thing. I think there's Lion King 2, Lion King and a half.
Half. Okay, that's what I'm thinking of here. So it must be in 2, where he has she fights
or
his
as
cousin
I like to think of
for
it
the
as
throne.
Simba and Pomona are dead. Kind of the...
Yeah, it's Rose and Fancy Christine. It's just a minute.
Well, that's exactly what the characters are. I think on our Lion King podcast, I think I've made that comment.
But we're in Wakanda, not the... Lion Pride.
You mean the Savannah?
The Pride Lands. It's called the Pride Lands.
The Serengeti.
Lion King. But they never call it that. That's a human term.
Of course
term.
Not. That's the human word for that territory. They call it the Pride Land.
Yeah.
Which, technically speaking, since Pride means family of lions, Pride Lands basically is a kingdom of lions.
Yeah.
So there you go. But anyway, we're not talking about Lion King. We're talking about Black Panther, as you've mentioned before. All right, so let me go ahead and kind of give you an idea of what I was hoping for in regards to a cinematic Black Panther experience.
Okay.
In my opinion, what I was hoping for in regards to Black Panther would have been kind of a story about a man who's taking the responsibility of being a king in his kingdom, but also trying to weigh that with being a superhero. Considering, again, that this is a character that we've seen fight alongside superheroes before, and we know for a fact that he's going to be in Infinity War moving later on into the year, I wanted to see him kind of wrestle with that argument. I also really wanted to see Black Panther truly embrace its African heritage. You know, to really give us a Wakanda of Africa. I was really disappointed when we got past the hologram and we basically just saw Asgard of Africa.
Ah.
That was the first real problem that I had with the movie. I didn't want to see a super futuristic cityscape like we had with Guardians, like we had with Thor, like we had with all these other Marvel universes. I wanted to see kind of a what I was hoping to see was an Africa that had all this capability, but that they held to tradition, that they held to their past, that they didn't need the supers, you know, the big cityscapes and stuff like that. That said, though, considering that that was the movie that I was hoping for, I was also trying to see if they would actually kind of give us, you know, T'Challa, the Chadwick Boseman character,
yeah,
actually see him make responsible decisions that help his kingdom. And considering that the film plays with him making those decisions, it was really disappointing that all the decisions that he made as king seemed to be plot points that are kind of moving the story along and doesn't really get into who he is as a person. And I guess the question I would ask, as the fanboy, did you feel that it gave us a fully realized T'Challa? Did you feel that you understood T'Challa's plight in the film?
Well, we're learning as we go. I mean, his plight is that this movie is taking place like a couple days after Civil War.
More like maybe like a few weeks.
I think it's got to be within days. He wraps up in Siberia. He comes home, and then basically on the way home is that first scene where it's like, oh, convoy, let's deal with it.
Well, no, it wasn't the convoy. He was picking up his ex-girlfriend because she was on a secret mission.
A convoy, smuggling slaves. So, yeah.
Okay, well, I'll tell you right now, we're going to have to get into the real world elements of the film, but that's going to be for my argument later on. But all right, so he picks up his girlfriend, and then he has the rite of challenge, which is something that I was already familiar with, the rite of challenge. And I'm actually kind of glad that we got this particular scene, even though I will say that the action sequences, and this is something that's going to be another argument I'm going to make, the action scenes here is kind of boring. I mean, did you get caught up in the action?
You were actually bored by that? It wasn't as exciting as the other ones, but I think that's a camera work thing. They were doing their job, but...
Here's another argument I'm going to make. Considering that I'm coming from this after I've seen Creed, and Creed has this amazing... Actually, has three awesome boxing sequences, including one that's done in a single take. So I know Ryan Coogler can do action, and he can do hand-to-hand combat. It's very clear that he's capable of doing it. I also think that the film relies way too heavily on CG effects and CG backgrounds. Okay. Because like the fight that's on these rocks, right? That felt so CG. It felt like a backlot. And that really should have been on location. They should have been able to find a location that works for this, because it felt otherworldly. And that's not the thing that you should be having with a movie that you're kind of spouting as being Africa. In fact, I will say right now, Africa needs to be a character in this movie. And I never got that feeling.
And you're thinking it wasn't because there was CGI Africa.
way too much CGI Africa.
Okay.
And a lot of that is because they decided they had to have this utopian Wakandan cityscape instead of kind of giving us a natural Wakanda, a natural feeling Wakanda.
The argument is this is what it naturally would look like if they hadn't been, if it had never been plundered like the rest of the continent was.
Okay. Well, all right. If we're gonna have the historical argument here, we will have this argument.
Well, that's the argument.
That
is
the argument.
And we're hoping
and
to only be 40 minutes.
And it's a fallible argument. It's fallacious in every sense of the word. Because if we're gonna have this argument about whether or not
plus they also have the miracle tool of vibranium.
They
which apparently
miracle...
can do everything.
Yeah.
So
basically we have the Mary Sue of minerals.
Minerals,
right? It can basically do anything. It can cure cancer. It can, it can stop bullets. It can...
It's as a power source. That's something I hadn't actually heard of before.
Well, it's not just that it has all these minerals, but apparently the scientists that are working here don't have any need for outside science, considering that all of their technological advances are, decades beyond what you see outside of Wakanda? So, out of curiosity, why would they be worried about anything, any threat whatsoever of the outside world to the point where they would have to hide themselves?
Because with enough force, you could take them out.
With what?
You throw 10,000 troops against that, it's going to go down.
10,000 troops against...
You throw a couple nukes at them, and they're not going to be able to stop them all.
Well, technically speaking, I think they've already made it clear that vibranium could pretty much deflect a nuclear arsenal.
It's great. So, as all the people are dead and all the wildlife and forests are destroyed, okay. But
I think they've already deforested Wakanda. I mean, again,
there's a lot of it you see that's still pretty well kept.
No, that's all hologram.
Not all of it.
Mm-hmm. And again, all right. So
without having a guide to Wakanda in front of me, it's like that city is not the whole nation,
right.
And that's only the only city. That we see. We see a lot of farming villages. Okay. Which my problem was, these villages are producing enough food to feed the city and themselves? That was the only logistical issue I had.
Well, apparently, I'm assuming at this particular point, considering that they are basically bringing people back from the dead with this material that they have, they also probably have the ability to synthesize food. But at the same time, though, if that's the case, then why do they have those markets that they do that basically are just kind of like basket waving markets? I mean, this is a modern day.
Because they don't have Etsy. Come on. People still make crafts. People still make art.
Well, then what exactly do they not have in Wakanda? Why would they have any ties whatsoever to the outside world? Why would they be a part
if
of
only
the
if only if only to lie to the world?
But I mean, just
you
making yourself visible. I mean, at some
if
point,
you,
someone's
if you're
gonna
not
wanna
visible,
go there.
If you're not visible, somebody intrudes.
Well,
if you are visible and you say, "Hey, could nobody come?" and somebody comes, you drop them off in one of the outlying villages and say, "Yep, this is Wakanda."
And this is my biggest problem with a utopia or a faux utopia like Wakanda, because Wakanda seems to have all these perfect things, but it doesn't really seem to have any flaws except for the big ones, which if they don't address in the Black Panther sequel that we know it's going to happen, I'm pretty much going to quit the Marvel Universe. This is a deal breaker that they're dealing with here, because let's say for the sake of argument that you have a Wakandan. A nation that has all this power, all this strength, in a continent that had basically thrived on slave labor, and not just talking about the transatlantic slave labor. Understand
right.
that slave labor has been going on in Africa since the time of the Romans. The Huns took slaves from Africa. The Muslims had brought slaves into Africa. It's I mean, slave trade has been going on in Africa since, again, since the time of the Romans. And yet, Wakanda never interfered. Wakanda stayed out of it, considering that they had the ability to protect their neighbors. And in a way, you could almost say that they enabled the slave trade around them. And especially considering how the movie ends, that is going to have pushback. There has to be censorship, and there's going to have to be, this type of issue this type of thing that Wakanda has allowed to happen for thousands of years must be addressed. And they can't use, well, we're just defending ourselves. It's just not going to happen. But those aren't even my biggest problems with the film. Because these are kind of more lore issues. The film itself, if you just take it for what it is trying so hard to deal with politics that it doesn't seem to truly understand. It's trying to discuss issues about the slave trade. It's trying to talk about how not just blacks in America, but blacks all over the world have had this stigma put upon them. And yet at the same time, though, it also just kind of throws it out there without any real consideration, no real thought put behind it. And again, giving us this kind of utopia that just doesn't, it just feels hollow, to be honest. And then, of course, we have our villain. And I'll just put this right now. My favorite part of Black Panther is Killmonger.
Yes. And but, that brings me only disappointment with it, is that they killed Killmonger.
I'm actually not disappointed in that.
Okay, this is from a fanboy perspective. I'm going to speak it.
Okay.
I'm kind of getting pissed with the MCU killing the villain of this movie. Because some of these guys would be great in sequels. Or just to come back in any way, shape, or form.
That's true.
Killing them all. I mean, who's the... I think Vulture, and technically that's kind of a Spidey Sony thing, is like the only guy not to be dead.
Well, no, Loki's still alive-ish.
Well, Loki's a good guy-ish now.
No, he's not. So... No, he's not. No. Loki will never
he's
truly
a trickster.
Be a good
he's
guy.
He's a trickster.
But no, I will kind of, I understand where you're coming from with Killmonger. Here's my thing about Killmonger, both living and dying. Yes, he would be great for future sequels. The problem here is that the current way that Marvel is going, they have to be looking at an endgame for the big story. And it's already been kind of said that Marvel is intending to kind of bring closure after I'm assuming is what they're calling Infinity War Part 2.
Right.
That's going to give closure and that we're going to get kind of a reboot of sorts. So Black Panther isn't going to get more villain. Getting Killmonger back is going to deny another villain for Black Panther. So I'm perfectly okay with. My problem with how they treated Killmonger in this movie is that Killmonger has more personality than T'Challa.
Okay.
We understand Killmonger's problem and his frustration and his story better than we understand T'Challa. Because T'Challa starts off as, his father's been killed and he's taking over the throne. And, we get a scene with Pops, and Pops is proud. And I understand that the story here is that it's about dealing with the sins of the past. The problem here is that it doesn't really deal with that. Killmonger is a problem of the past, of a recent past specifically. His anger is fully fleshed out. T'Challa's decision to how to deal with Killmonger and how to deal with the sins aren't. Because every time that a decision needs to be made, he just bypasses it. Like, oh no no, the tradition says this. Oh no no, tradition says that. He doesn't really make the decision himself. And even by this whole, decision to join the rest of the world that is brought on by the events of this movie feels reactionary instead of him actually making that decision for himself. And that is a big problem that I have with this film. And one that I'm really surprised that critics didn't really challenge in regards to this, considering that they did challenge stories that kind of did this exact same thing, specifically in the original Thor film. And can we be honest here and say that Black Panther has a lot in common with the first Thor film? Almost a reverse of that Thor film, right? Because in the first Thor film, Thor is cast out of his kingdom and has to find his, you know, has to find his humanity, has to find the hero within. Black Panther has him coming back as the hero only to have that hero status challenged, right?
In a way, I've been hearing that most of the Marvel movies lately are kind of just the same plot anyway.
Well, they are.
So,
I mean, as a fanboy, though, as a fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, does this get annoying?
It hasn't yet.
But do you see this as getting annoying soon? Is it starting to wear thin?
It could real quick, depending on Infinity War is looking like a big crossover that should be a breath of fresh air that is needed. The question's going to end up being Ant-Man and Wasp, if it ends up being a retread of one of the other movies. And then who knows what's after. I'm not even sure what's after Ant-Man and Wasp besides Infinity War 2.
Well, there's also Captain Marvel.
Right, okay. That's the key there. Yeah. Which could easily be an Iron Man.
If I'm not correct.
Has that started filming?
I don't believe so. But yeah, probably be filming shortly.
Okay.
But all the same, though, let's talk about the finale, because one of my big problems with the movie is how the movie ends. Because here you are, you have T'Challa losing his powers and losing his kingdom to Killmonger after he is defeated in fair combat. And then at the end of the film, he gets his powers back, and we have a superpower versus superpower where no one can win. And I have a problem with the fact that, honestly, T'Challa doesn't earn being Black Panther. I mean, quite honestly, he did lose fairly.
Right.
He hasn't earned the Black Panther moniker yet. He really should have been able to, in order to become the hero at the end of this film, T'Challa has to earn Black Panther back. And he has to do that by fighting Killmonger at a disadvantage. And we're not even going to get into the whole coup. We're not going to get into the whole... What I'll say right now is one of the worst bits of CG. Actually, all the worst CG is really at the end. The rhinoceroses. Oh my god, that is some awful CG.
I was okay with them, but maybe I just... You saw it in IMAX, so didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I didn't. So that may have been part of it.
And then, of course, the fight in the Underground Railroad. I wonder if they're saying something there.
I didn't attribute anything there. I was just thinking, okay, it's cool, it's an area, it's a all CGI rendered environment that they could play with.
Remember though that this entire film is another Marvel thing that this movie kind of takes itself from is also X-Men. Can we all agree that two different ideologies?
Killmonger is very much a Magneto.
Yes. And one of the reasons why Magneto is possibly one of the best Marvel villains, I know, not of the MCU, but of all of the Marvel properties.
Yeah, because you agree with him on a lot of things.
Well, no, I don't agree with him.
Well, no, you, the viewer, agree with him that on some things. It's like, no, he's seen bad shit that can happen. He doesn't want it to happen again, except he takes it too far.
Yeah, but here's the problem. With Magneto, he has been in concentration camps. He has seen death occur. He has lived through it. He has seen the horrors of murder on a mass scale.
Yeah.
With Killmonger, while he has seen, you know, while he is frustrated by what has been happening with African Americans specifically in America, his argument seems more philosophical than practical. You know, he's taking on a legacy of kind of what has happened to African Americans as a whole instead of it being his own experience. You know, he talks about, you know, the slave trade as though he lived through it. He didn't. You know, if he had made this about the horrors of what he saw on the streets, if this was something personal to him, that would be a lot more understandable. But at the same time, the film also wants it very clear. He is basically out to become the ruler. He isn't wanting equality. He wants to dominate. He wants to use Wakanda as a means of creating his own empire, of just replacing the current regime with his own.
Well, yeah, that's the fastest way to get your stuff to go. Why go through channels? I mean, he could start convincing, but that could take forever, so why as well take over while he has a legitimate claim?
Do you agree in what Killmonger is wanting? Do you think that he's right in doing what he's doing?
It's, you know that thing about, you know, doing the right thing for all the wrong reasons or the wrong thing for all the right reasons? Mm-hmm. He's doing the wrong thing for all the right reasons. He has every reason to do it, but then he crosses too many lines and does, like, oh, you want equality and balance back and you want to raise the black, you want to raise the brothers all around the world. Fine. Do you have to kill all these other people to do it? No, you don't have to.
Well,
but he wants to. And that's where he's crossing everyone. I mean, goddammit, he kills his girlfriend for, like, almost no reason. Just because, oh, it's gonna be easier than just, you know, having a standoff.
Well, I don't know how to kind of put this, but you know that he's looking at ethnic cleansing.
Right.
Right? I mean, in a way, you could say that what he's wanting to do is what someone wanted to do almost about 80 years ago, but for the opposite race.
Or, you know, compare him to Magneto again.
Well, again, you could say, but at the same time, though, when it comes to Magneto, he isn't out to destroy humanity. He wants to
Oh, no. He wants to destroy a lot of the regular humanity.
He wants to break the back of humanity, but he is wanting to enslave it. He's wanting to use it as his workforce. He wants to put himself on top. What Killmonger is looking for is ethnic cleansing.
Does he? Does he state that?
Yes, he does. He says it very clearly.
Hmm. Or does he just want to rule?
But because
if he ruled the world from Wakanda,
well.
But by the same token, he should know that he would never be able to pull that off. Because he's trained in the same militaries that, you know, would be coming after him.
Perhaps.
But he knows how good snipers can be, you know. Mm-hmm. Don't stick your head up. Bam! Okay, problem solved.
But can we also agree that the fight between Black Panther and Killmonger in the Underground Railroad and all the fighting that happens between the two is some of the worst CG in this movie. This is painfully bad.
It didn't seem that bad to me, but, you know, you were in a higher resolution environment.
I honestly would prefer it if it was just basically kind of a CG movie like the next Spider-Man movie, if they're going to kind of go in this direction. Mm. And honestly, there's really no stakes considering that the fight that these two are having is so evenly matched. And again, the fact that, you know, T'Challa doesn't earn his Black Panther powers back. He's given to him.
Right.
Almost, you know, just willy-nilly.
They're kind of at an impasse where they can't make T'Challa take his powers away, and they can only restore power once again.
Well, they give him his powers back. They have both these super-powered characters, and then they have to find an area where they don't have the superpowers.
Yeah.
Why not just remove their superpowers and have them mortal again? Why have it so that you basically see two CG suits fighting each other?
Too complicated.
No, I think they made it more complicated than it needs to be. Mm. But I will say, though, that when it comes to the actual death of Killmonger, I actually like that. I actually like how, especially Michael B. Jordan's performance. I'll say, of all the actors, Michael B. Jordan just rises above. This is easily the best character in the movie, with the exception of Winston Duke's character, who I really enjoyed, even if the character itself is kind of one note. It's one of those characters that if when Black Panther 2 comes out, and I have a strange feeling I will be seeing it, despite
what
I think about this film. Kind of like how I feel about Deadpool. I'm interested in seeing what he does and where they go with that character. Because he is fun and funny, even if he is slightly, shall we say, stereotypical.
Mm.
You know, he does kind of do things that would... if it were any other race, would have been kind of have eye-rollingly, you know, kind of be panned just a little bit. You know what I mean?
Ah, so. Yeah. Oh, well.
All right. But all the same, though, are there any other points to the film that you think kind of round up your impression?
Shuri needs her own movie. Or at least YouTube specials where she could just go off and be fun. Come on, how could you not like her?
Honestly, she's an insufferable know-it-all. I mean, she's basically Hermione Granger's obnoxious, you know, African twin. Am I wrong?
Oh, come on. It's a fun character.
Actually, I found myself, like, really not caring. I actually like Danai Gurira's character a lot more than Suri. Because she... I love how she's torn between her responsibility...
Yes.
Her loyalty to Wakanda and her loyalty to T'Challa. And I always love it when a character has to deal with that type of... conflict. That said... Daniel Kaluuya's character, the boyfriend, I'm assuming, of Danai Gurira's character.
Yeah.
I just don't buy him as an African warrior. Every time I look at him with his kind of baby face, I think of Carlton. I probably shouldn't, but I do. I keep expecting him to start swinging his hips to Tom Jones. But that's just me personally.
You expect him to go, it's not unusual to be...
Hey, I can't afford those rights.
That was less than 3 seconds.
Alright, so anything else before we go ahead and make the call?
Oh, let's see, we had that. Martin Freeman, you're no Agent Coulson. There, I said it.
I agree.
Yeah, I said it there.
I will say, though, as much as I'm not disappointed in Killmonger's death just simply because it was so well done, I am sad to see Claw die.
Yeah.
Because Andy Serkis just had so much fun with this character. And he's one that I could actually see in, like, Avengers movies, considering what happened to him in the last Avengers movie that he was in.
I mean, he makes a good, not principal bad guy for him, but somebody who's working with the bad guys.
Yeah. And it honestly kind of had that same feeling about Crossbones, or that character in the Captain America movies, played by Frank Grillo.
Right, who they were kind of implying would be back, but...
Well, he was, but they killed him right off the bat.
Yeah.
But that said, though, cinematically speaking, yeah, I'm ready to call it, but are you?
Yeah.
All right, so let's do this. Now, what we're going to do is we're going to rate this film on whether we think that the film meets the needs of our respective camps. So, in my case, I'll be rating if this film is, if it is a worthy theatrical film, if it meets the critics' criteria, and if I think that it meets that. And Kent, what are you going to be rating this movie on?
Is my fanboy heart happy, and do I want to see every sequel ever? And see all these characters show up in other movies? And yeah, give me more!
Alright, so Kent, why don't you start us off?
I liked this movie. I've already explained what my problems were, and I'm okay with them, and how it exists. And I'm looking forward for, I'm looking forward for Black Panther 2, but first we gotta get through, two Avenger movies, which are going to have Black Panther and his and at least the first one's going to have supporting cast. So, yes, that's almost like a Black Panther 1.2, I guess.
1.5?
Well, no, it's not a full half, because it has to share with all the other stuff. It has to share with Guardians 2.2, and Iron Man, yeah, can't count. Yeah, I'm not sure
you're
what fraction
you're making me
cross-eyed
just thinking about how this all ties together.
Yes! Yeah, so... Geek point of view, I'm fine with this film. I am, so... Okay, it's so no it's Citizen Kane, but whatever, I'm passing it.
For me, the critics have been extremely positive to the film, and I can kind of see where they're coming from, even if I totally disagree with them on the film. In my opinion, this is a very boring film. It's a film that has serious problems that... The movie should have either addressed or should have just ignored. And the fact that it wants to have this political message on top of it being a fun Marvel film, I have serious problems with because it doesn't address them in the ways like Captain America Civil War addressed that one, or Winter Soldier for that matter. It kind of is haphazard about it. And that I have a serious problem with. And I think that more critics need to have those questions for this type of film.
This one tight.
But, thank you. That said, the best I could ever say about the movie is that it's meh. It's not bad, and it doesn't commit serious crimes that make this a bad movie in that sense. It's just a movie that has serious problems. And in that sense, I think that on a critical perspective, as a film in itself, it does enough that you can get something out of it. And that it does meet the criteria of good art, if not art that I can totally get behind. But that doesn't mean that I have to like it. But at the same time, I'm not going to fail it just because I have a disagreement about it. So it is a pass on my end as well. But one with, I guess you could say, some reservations. That said, I think we're going to go ahead and close this episode out. Kent, thank you for joining me for this. Yep. And if you have anything you'd like to say about this episode or any of the other ones that we are discussing on Art House Legends, you can certainly hit us up at the Art House Legends Facebook page or on Twitter at Art House Legends or our email address, arthouselegends@gmail.com. And we will get back to you as soon as possible. Thank you so much, Kent. This is Movie Dude Eric.
And this is Kent.
And bye.